Blog Talk Radio.
Staring at a stop sign, watching people drive by, T-Mac on the radio. Got so much on your mind, nothing's really going right, looking for a ray of hope.
Radio. I'm your host, Jackie Wayans. Really glad to be with you here another week, and we've got a real overcomer with us tonight. Tonight, we have Skerrit Boy, a.k.a. Dale Richardson, or I'd say it the other way, it's Dale Richardson, a.k.a. Skerrit Boy, because he is formerly known as the daggering icon of the world. After years of daggering, leaping, and ladders, and all kinds of crazy stuff for Major Lazer, Dale Richardson gave his life to the Lord Jesus Christ and left that dance hall legend, hype man, all behind. And so we're here to speak with Dale tonight, Skerrit Boy, and to find out exactly what transpired in his life, find out where he started and what God did and where he's at today and what he's doing. And we're going to hear some really great music original stuff from Dale, stuff that he has just been creative with and played around with, and we're just going to enjoy it, because a lot of times as young people and as Christians, we think that we can't have fun anymore when we get saved, and we can't dance and we can't party, but we can do all of that in the name of Jesus and do it big. So Dale, thank you for being with us tonight.
It's my pleasure, sis. My pleasure. Absolute pleasure.
Glad to have you. You're coming in loud and strong. So I just want to get right into it, because you won't believe how fast time is going to go tonight. So, listen, I want to go back. You were born and raised in Antigua?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. So tell me about your youth years. I want to know, what kind of a young man were you growing up? Were you the play-it-by-the-book rules or kid, or the one who always got into trouble and got into stuff? Who were you as a kid growing up?
I was a model citizen.
All right.
Just a regular kid, man. Just a regular kid. I wasn't killing nobody or nothing like that. Just a regular kid enjoying life, being, and making it do what it do, running around the neighborhood, catching pigs, jumping people's fences, picking their coconuts.
All that good stuff.
Yeah,
all right. That's normal. That's normal.
The kid was good. Yeah, man.
Okay, so tell me then, about your family. When you're growing up in a family, families kind of relate to you, what their values are, what they think is most important. What was the message as you were growing up in your family in terms of what was the values and the messages that came off as being most important in life as you were growing up in your family?
Well, I tell you, it's a woman, I grew up in a family where it was the more girlfriends you had, the better you was,
It was like a testament to your manliness?
Yeah, man. That was definitely...
Okay.
That's like as in any West Indian household, man. You meet your dad, he goes, "How many girlfriends you got?" He said, "Three, daddy, three of them." "Yeah, man, good boy." So that was about it. My family sent me to church. No one really came with me, but, I went to church as a child.
Okay. So you independently went on your own?
Yeah, but, when you're a kid, you don't really go to church for God. You go to church because there's other kids there and it's something to do on the Sundays, what the neighborhood does on a Sunday, So you kind of just like, all right, church on Sunday,
usually
doing the same thing, trying to bag girls and, talking and enjoying and having a good time, taking the collection money to go buy bun and cheese and,
Oh, my gosh, no. Oh, gosh. All right, so people were putting money in, you were taking money out, okay.
Nah, man, I ain't taking nobody money out. I'm using my money when I'm sending to go church with it.
Oh, I see, I got you, no problem.
No, sister, I'm afraid of God,
I just wanted to be clear, I just wanted to be clear, but yeah, kids do that all the time. So listen, how did you get into the DJ party scene? I know you started in Antigua. How did you get into it?
Yeah, I just started going to parties. I just like parties. My father took me to the first party when I was like 8. It was a nice little club in Antigua called the Underground. One of his friends, I owned it. He just got you, and I just liked it, man. I just liked what I saw. I grew up in Antigua, so that's predominantly soca. But that club, it was just different. You heard all types of music in there, man. You heard reggae, that just attached to me, and you get a little bit of everything. It was just different. It was just like being in another world, being transported to another dimension, when you were a kid and you go to a party for the first time with grown up, and it wasn't no other kids there. So, it was just like, wow, this is life right here,
Yeah, I think that's the point. I mean, at 8 years old, you're really impressionable and you're seeing everything and the music and the sounds and the lights, and I could imagine that it just kind of drew you in, and the thump of the bass, you could still feel that moment.
What do you mean, man? Yeah, right, man. Right, right. Wasn't really no lighting back then, though. I don't remember no lights. I just remember just vibes, the energy, you know, people, just sound, like you say, bass, just hard bass, just rocking the walls, and, you know, just, to me, back then, it was fun. That was amazing.
So now as you grow up and you get older, how did you develop? How did you decide that I'm going to take this thing to another level?
Well, it was really, I can't say I really, like, set off to do things on another level, you know. It was just kind of like, all right, boom, I was into this. I like music, and I just started playing music, you know. I started playing music throughout high school, you know. I started getting in more to my dancing at that time, like, you know, Buck Up and all these things was in style, the Healing Tour, and, you know, reggae was hitting big in New York. So, you know, I knew all the songs. You know, so I would play at house parties. We started throwing house parties and getting bigger and bigger. So, you know, it's just kind of like a gradual process. It wasn't like I set off like I would be the number one DJ in the world. It just kind of happened, you know?
Right, right, right. So it's just interesting. So you were really just in love with this thing. You were in love with music, and you just kept doing it.
What do you mean, man? You know, I used to get $10 for allowance for my pops, man, and I would take my rollerblade from 1830 in Creston to 225th and White Plains Road by Moody's Records and buy 3 records a week.
Wow.
Yo, you could go in there and ask Father Moody's right now, ask Courtney. I seen him the other day. Yo, he said, yo, I remember the first time he came in here and you said, give me 4 years and I'm going to be the biggest celebrity in New York, and I live to see it happen. So anything you're doing with this gospel movement, I want to live to see it happen.
Well, that's great. And we're going to definitely be giving more information about that later on. We've got some, aside from great music, we've got a wonderful event that you guys can attend next Friday. But listen up. I want to find out here, how did you make that dream come true? You know, you said it out of your mouth that in 4 years I'm going to be this, you know, and it happened. How did you wind up being this front man, this number one, you know, icon? How did that moment, that door open for you?
Well, it was a lot of doors, and it was a lot of moments, and, you know, it was a lot of, boy, it's longer than an hour. But to make a long story short, when I graduated high school, well, the year that I was supposed to graduate high school, I found out that I wasn't a legal resident of the United States.
Gotcha.
You know, so it was kind of like, what? What do you mean I can't go to college? I'm doing so good in school. You know, I used to study art pieces for inside of the Museum of Modern Art. I've got awards from Tommy Hilfiger, Rosie Perez. I designed the whole school, like, basketball team. I designed the school logos. So I was good. I was the man, you know, so I was well set to go into college. And then I got the reality check that, hey, listen, this is what your status is. Like, what? I don't even know what that is. You know?
Wow.
But, yeah, man. So it was kind of like going to the world and make that bread now, you know? So the day I graduated.
Right. So you say, is it that you were just doing the parties, doing your thing, and they heard about you and came to you, or did you go on some magical audition and that was the moment in time? What was the moment in time when you got connected with the big boys?
Oh, in the major label scene, that happened around 2008, December 2008, Diplo hit me up. And I didn't know who he was at the time because I was already doing my reggae scene. By that time, I was already good. I did 35 countries with the reggae. I was on my way to Japan the next day, actually. So I was like,
wow.
Nah, I don't want to do no electronic music. Get that out of here. Because, you know, where we form, electronic music is like, you know, that different music, you know. We don't listen to that stuff. Yeah, man. But one of my homeboys, them DJ Gravy, he hit me up like, yo, did this cat Diplo just call you? I was like, yeah, man, you want me to come be an artist or something? I ain't no artist. I ain't interested in that. He was like, yo, listen to me, man. I never beg you for nothing in my life. If it's one thing I'm begging you, go see that, man. You need to. I was like, all right, man, Gravy. If it's for you, I'm going to go. So then, yeah, I just went up. I met him down at that downtown studio in somewhere on Broadway. I don't even remember where it was. Yeah, and heard some of the tracks. You know, I like the point of floor joint. So I took the point of floor joint off of him, started playing it all over, and it just got big. It got big on the West Indian scene, you know? And so, you know, when I came back from Japan, we did it was like in, like, probably June or sometime near the summer, we did South by Southwest. And, you know, after we did that show, it blew up everywhere, because South by Southwest, South by Southwest is like major media. So everybody grabbed it, everybody saw it, everybody loved it, and after that, it was a tour. That's it.
Okay, so now that we've got the setup, I want to now bring it down personal. Here you are, you know, you're traveling, you're successful at what you're doing, you're having fun, so it seems, right? I would assume there's girls and you know, money and all of that stuff. Were you, like, just flying, content, completely happy? What was it like for you, not only when you were on stage, but when at the end of the day, when it was time to go home and open the key to wherever you rest your head, you know, who were you? What was Dale really like at that moment in time?
I ain't gonna lie to you. I mean, like, the Christian in me is saying, oh, it was messed up and it was fake, but I'm gonna be honest with you, it was perfectly fine. I was having a lot of fun, making good money, you know, meeting all the chicks I ever needed to meet, getting free drinks, getting VIP, first class flights, big hotels. It was fun. It was perfectly fine. I wasn't having no problem providing for my family, my kids, they doing well, you know, and life at home still, you know, so I ain't gonna lie to you, my life was all right. Like you said,
and you know what?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I actually, you know, we always hear these stories and, you know, people are like, oh, yeah, at the end of the day, it was this or that. And that's true for some people. But for you, you were living this. You were completely in it and you were zooming. But now one of the things that's really interesting is that you were still going to church when you had the opportunity and still paying attention to the word. So what was it that caught your or kept your attention to say, I'm going to go to church on a Sunday?
Oh, you know, that's a funny thing, man. Something just always felt right in church. It just always felt right. Like, it doesn't matter how crazy I was, how ridiculous I was, you know, whatever. I could just, like, had come from a club, a hotel, went home bed and still go to church, you know. And it was like, I just felt like I needed to be there. Even when we went to other countries, other states, I would go to church, you know. It was just,
wow.
I just felt like, yo, I needed to go to church. Yeah, man, yo, there's been many a night I have to, like, shut down clubs early. Like, yo, I know we're having a good time, but I got to go home and get ready for church. And my man's in, they used to laugh at me, like, yo, what's up? We're making money. We got this bar bubbling, and you going to church? I'm like, yeah, man, you know. So I don't know. I can't tell you. I really can't tell you this, but it's just something that I always felt. I remember one night we left straight from Savoy, came and parked in front of the church because it was already like 8 o'clock in the morning. I was like, man, if I go home, I ain't going to get up for church. And we slept outside Savoy until they opened the church. I mean, we slept outside the church until it opened. So,
yeah. That's, you know, that's just God drawing you and pulling you in, you know. And when you were sitting there, were you just falling asleep or were you really listening to what was being said?
No, man. Yeah, I was listening at church, man. I ain't gonna act like there wasn't days when I did fall asleep, but still, yeah, man, I was listening, man. I used to be in church taking notes and posting it on Facebook and MySpace, sending out blasts and all that. Yeah, so I definitely paid attention. I wasn't just going to church to take up a seat. You feel me?
So when did the moment in time come? Now listen to the question very carefully because I don't want you to rush ahead. I just want to know when did the moment in time come when you were still doing what you were doing, but you started to wonder, should I still be doing what I'm doing? Like, did that ever?
I always knew I wasn't doing what I was supposed to do. I don't think there's anyone out there that knows, you know, that, hey, I shouldn't, that's kind of flip-flop and like, gives you a question in their head. People know. And I ain't going to lie, like, I didn't know. I knew good and well that, hey, I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing, you know, but I just felt better going to church, you know. And
well, on that note, we're going to play a little bit.
That's what we was doing.
Yeah, no, that's all right. We're going to play a little bit of Fake In right now. I'm not going to play the whole thing, but at least half of it, because it's all about lifestyle sometimes, and we think that the lifestyle is everything, but it's not. So
around and I'm getting it, they riding around pretending, I've been had it, I've been done it, I promise that it's all empty, they say they riding Bugatti, may put some babies through college, we're trying to act like the traffic crew cause we tired of hearing that garbage, eight bags white, pipe the lean, I've been on dope boys since the scene, but this ain't what we meant to be, and y'all don't make no sense to me, you pump faking, ain't shooting, ain't killing, ain't doing, had them things you say you're doing, 116 we stay true and ain't no dealing, ain't no pimping, talk about my own killing. We on that deep soul healing, so serious, go rhythm, wild angry, can't tame us, been changed, can't change us, 116 you can't shame us, live that truth you can't claim us.
I heard him say he bought the block, in his song he say he gangster but he not, say he making money cashing big checks, while his chain leaving green on his neck, I'm not impressed, so I can't take it, just that make you get me a fake.
He was all juiced up, thought he was Tupac. Did them boys caught him, hit him with them blue shots. Now he in the station singing like he King Pine. The bullets made him lean, now I guess he do change. He bought that Bentley kid and wrapped it around the 300. No matter how you put it, boy, I'm still a 300. Stop that faking in the flash and down, cut it off. Rockin' like your paper longer than the Powerball. Sticky scar face, you can't see the movie. Keep on faking till you face down in the jacuzzi. With some killers in your room, with some real guns that don't make noise in their glasses, but they real guns.
I heard him say he bought the block. In his song he say he gangster, but he not. Say he making money, cashing big checks, while his chain leaving green on his neck. I'm not impressed, so I can't make you rich, that make you, that make you a fake.
Real, recognize real, introduce yourself. Careful with that cannon, boy, you might just shoot yourself. Somebody wake up, tell them to stop faking before they end up lying in the woods, butt naked. These killers full of them demons, why you pretending you soft face? You ain't really no ghetto boy, why you faking that hard face? That just made them furious. Somebody call Fishburne, set his bars in the hood, 40 cal, hit, burning hell, burns hotter. My sons to the father, I'm praying Lord forgive them, cause they lying like a buster. They got these eight traitors with they eyes on the chopper. I pray the Lord save them before we drop them and make them perfect.
I heard him say he bought the block, in his song he say he gangster but he not. Say he making money cashing big checks, while his chain leaving green on his neck. I'm not impressed, so I can't just make you just that make you that make you a fake.
Tells it all right there. We are listening to Skerrit Boy, Dale Richardson, sharing with us his story from going from, you know, daggering, leaping all over the place, an icon in the DJ dance hall world, and now sold out for Jesus Christ. And we're just really excited about that, that someone of this magnitude of talent can now parlay those skills for great music in this industry. So we were just speaking and talking about his background and growing up and and being in this industry and still going to church on Sundays. But what I really want to know now, Dale, is at what point did you decide, I want you to really slow it down and paint the picture for us, that moment in time when you said going to church is not enough, I actually want to live this thing out, Lord, I'm yours. When did it happen? Where did it happen? Tell us.
Well, you know, it comes that point, man, where you just got to be honest, you know what I'm saying? You just got to be honest with yourself. And something that my father taught me when I was a little kid just resonated, you know. My father taught me when I was growing up, even though I was throwing parties and making this money and, you know, had the chicks and the fame and, you know, all that stuff. He told me, you're smart, but you're not wise. And when he told me that, I was like, well, what are you talking about, man? I'm the smartest little kid you know, man. We're out here doing what I'm doing, da-da-da-da. And he was like, just listen to me. He said, the difference between a smart man and a wise man is that a smart man learns from his mistakes. A wise man learns from the mistake of others. And, you know, that just really always stuck with me, and that helped me to get through a lot of stuff. Like, even in the secular industry, you know what I'm saying, it helped me to just zoom, not making the same mistakes other people would make. You know, so when the ultimate card was put on the table, it was like, yo, do I want to make the same mistake that everybody that I know is making, or do I want to do better? You know, because if it's one thing about church, you can see, like, the rich people, because I've been around rich people. I'm talking about, like, people with their own jets, their own company, $1 million, $1 billion enterprises, all that. And, yo, they not really happy. I'm going to be honest with you. And you hear people say it, but until you see that, it's like, yo, what's wrong with these people? They're really not. You know what I'm saying? And, like, I've been on private jets with dudes, and they ask me, like, yo, how can you so happy? And I'm looking at them like, what are you talking about? Like, you own a jet, my man. If I had, like, a car, I'd be all right. You know?
You just want a car, right? So,
yeah,
listen,
yeah.
I know that Antigua plays an important role here because, you know, you're born and raised there, but you came to New York City. But it was actually on a trip to Antigua when you gave your life to the Lord.
Yeah, I was in a church down there, you know, and this lady come in the church bawling and screaming her eyes out, like, ugly face, full ugly, you know what I'm saying? You know when y'all women cry, how y'all get, man. You know, so I'm like, man, this lady messing up the church, the little kumbaya circle going on. I'm feeling all good, and she coming in here. You know, so I'm not really paying attention to her. But then the pastor looks over at her, and the pastor's like, again? You again? So I'm thinking in my head now, like, again? What do you mean by that? I'm even worse not paying attention. And then he look at her and go, yo, you know what's good? You know what's bad? What's stopping you from just accepting everything that Christ has put in a way was evil? Yeah, I'm thinking like, oh, snap, this is about to go down because she's about to pour it out now. And she look up at this man, and she says, nothing. And I'm sitting there like, nothing. And I just feel like that nothing coming out of me is like, yo, that's for real, yo. Ain't nothing stopping me. I do know what's good from bad. I know what's right from wrong. I've been in church. I know what it is. What's really stopping me, you know? And it's, you know, that's just it. So look at her and you go, so for the money that's nothing, the sex that's nothing, the job that's nothing, the car that's nothing, the liquor that's nothing, all these things and that's nothing, you're willing to give up everything that God has for you in Christ for nothing? And I'm like, that's a good point right there. I know it's not the most, you know, magnificent conversion story ever, you know, but it's like, That was pretty powerful, actually.
Yeah, that is actually pretty powerful. So then what did you do?
That was it. I had my moment with God.
That was his defining moment, yeah.
Yeah, I had my intimate moment with God at that moment, you know, and it was just like straight up, like, on a spiritual level. I was just like, if you go into the world, you know, you're going to be successful. You got everything lined up for you. Or you could just come with me and get what I have for you. You know what I'm saying? And it was just like, you know, it was overwhelming because at that time we had another album coming on the way. We just had got the Cartoon Network deal. I was in the BlackBerry commercial. I was on True TV, Rolling Stone magazine. And I was like, man, I'm about to blow up, son. You know, I was like, I had bookings for like 2 years. And I didn't even want to take no more because I wanted to wait till the cartoon drop so I could raise my prices and all that. But at the end of the day, it's like, it's not worth it. It's really not worth it, man.
Let me understand and let me make sure those who are listening understand what you're saying to me. You're saying that at this moment in time in this church, when you said yes to the Lord because of the profound thing that was said to this woman, but really God was using it to speak to you, that you had 2 years worth of bookings, you had things lined up, the money was rolling in. Are you telling me that you walked away from all of that? You shut it down?
Yeah. Right then and there. I just turned to my brother and I was like, I'm done. And he was like, okay. And I told him, like, nah, I'm like done. I'm talking about the music. I ain't DJing no more, throwing no more parties, nothing. I had like a party planned in the Bronx, Dancehall Queen. I told the club, keep the money. I don't even want my deposits back. None of that, yo. The promoters that had booked me, throwing them back their money, pay back for hotels, pay back for flights, and so that's it. Gave up the Cartoon Network, left it. I just left it. Everything done.
Wow, and Major Lazer also.
Yeah, man, everything. Major Lazer.
How did they take that? I mean, what did people say to you? What did people say to you when you were just canceling and, you know, stepping away? What was their response to you?
I'm going to tell you, man, most people took it, you know what I'm saying? Most people took it pretty good. It was like, yo, listen, man, this God you're dealing with, my man, it is what it is. You know, you got to do what you got to do, you know? As long as they got their money back, they ain't care, you know?
Yeah, but, you know, it's an amazing thing, though, because sometimes we get so caught up worried about what everyone is going to think if we do X, Y, Z, but you just did it, and you didn't worry about that.
The only thing I was worried about was God. That's it. I ain't worried about nothing else, nothing. I ain't worried about the money, the perks, nothing. It was just God. I was just like, yo, listen, I need God. I want nothing else because it's real and true. It's nothing. I've been through the money. I've been through the chicks. I've been through the liquor. I've been through the first class flights. I've been through everything that regular people would say, yo, you made it. And it was still like, all right, cool, what's next? You know?
Right.
It's just this thing that you're always pursuing. And the more you get, the more money you get, the more money you want. When I first started DJing and I was DJing for free, I was just as happy as when I was doing the big shows at X amount, you know? And it was just like, all right, now I want more, now I want more. And it was just like, so what? It's really nothing, man. We used to have a joke. We used to be like, you know, what's better than one girl? We'd be like, two girls is better than two girls. Three girls is better than four girls. More girls.
Okay,
and it was like,
I get it.
You know, it's nothing,
I
girl.
Get
it's
it.
Nothing.
So in this moment in time, you actually, you know, you even cooled off of the music itself, right? You took a step back for a year just so that you can hear from God to see what he wanted to do for you or do in you moving forward. What was it that you heard?
Well, I put down music. I put it down. I started deleting all my music with curses and profanity and all that. I started deleting my dub plates, all that stuff. And it wasn't even a year. It was like a month later. You know, I was in a little church in Queens, and I was singing songs, going along, and I was reading the hymn book. And I never read the hymn book before. Like, you know, when you get hymn books, you just trying to catch up with the words, keep up with the melody and the timing and all that. You don't really read it. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of like karaoke. So this day I was actually reading the words, and I was like, yo, God, these words, man, these words is just so powerful. It's like, oh, man, I'm feeling it right now. And then I look up at the drummer trying his best, the keyboardist trying his best. I'm like, but God, yo, this is not my type of music. I don't want to hear this for the rest of my life, please.
Yeah, I'm sure there are many who are with you on that one. I'm sure you are not alone. So then you decided to kind of bring it in. But let's not go into that yet. I'm going to play another track, Take Me to the King by Pamela Mann. You put your magic on this one. I love it. I was even fortunate enough to be a part of the little video remix you did on that. So let's
yeah.
listen.
Yeah.
Truth is I'm kind, I'm young of you. Yeah.
take me to the king. That's what Dale did. He took himself right on up to the steps of the cross, the foot of the cross, and he gave himself to King Jesus, and now he's living just a fantastic life in him. And Dale, tell me, I just want to, I'm curious, a lot of your tracks, it's either at the beginning of your track, at the end, somewhere in the middle, and you say, oh, my Jesus, what is that about? Tell us what that means to you.
Just calling it out, man. You got to call it out. You got to call the power down. You see it.
So you want people to know right off the bat. That's what this is about.
That's it. That's it. I only make gospel. I don't make nothing else, man, just gospel.
Love it.
So all my tracks are just straight up Jesus.
There you go. There you go.
I don't want to do nothing else.
Tell us about now that, you know, you're just on this track with your music. What are your passions? What has the Lord done for you since you have said, yes, Lord, and you closed the door to all the other paths? Talk to me. Tell me about some of the doors he's opened for you.
Man, we don't even got enough time for that. Let me tell you straight.
Just the highlight.
Yeah, man. After that moment in the church, you know, the Lord put it on my heart to go make music. At that time, I didn't know anything about music. I didn't know how to play any instruments. I never played any instruments in my life. You know, I just didn't know how to do it. Now, even though I've been in the studio with people producing, I never paid attention because there's always someone in there you can just pay and have them do whatever, you know? So, yeah, man, I came home, started looking up stuff, looking up different schools and whatnot, and then I came across this school called Dubspot, and, you know, the Lord got me in there, and I was sponsored, you know what I'm saying, to do it. So it didn't cost me a thing. I was supposed to go and take one course, end up getting 5 of them, you know, straight on the sponsorship. You know, and right now I'm fully prepared. I'm mixing, mastering, video production, got my music theory game, got my sound design. So I'm pretty much prepared to do anything in the music industry right now. I just finished in August, an 18-month course. So I'm a Dubspot graduate, feeling good about myself, you know.
All right.
and you
also got married during this course of through the time, right?
Yes, ma'am. I got married last year. Last week was my anniversary, actually. Yeah.
Wonderful, wonderful. And so now, what are your dreams? What are you pursuing? What's next for you?
Man, whatever God got planned, man. Every time I think I got something planned, He show up and give me something better to do, you know. But as for me, what I you know, got planned is, well, we're going to start throwing events starting this November. So this November, I got a Jesus party planned. I'm launching off for Electric Gospel officially, you know. So we're going to spread it out, you know, do more work for other people, you know, reach out to labels, reach out to artists and start doing bigger and wilder things. Because all this time, I've just been warming up and practicing, you know, making
right,
sure
right. So,
that when the work comes in that I could do it right and do it fast, you know.
Right, right. So Electric Gospel, what is that? You know, we see it on your tags and everything, but what is it going to be? What is it that the vision that you have that Electric Gospel will be?
Well, I want it to be a Christian entertainment company. You know what I'm saying? Because it's like, once you become a Christian, everybody thinks like, all right, that's it. Go to church, go to work, go home, pay your tithes, that's it. You know, and it's like, what do you do? What do you do after you become a Christian? Because you want to take a chick out? You know, it's like, oh, man, we can't go to the club because, you know, they're drinking and smoking there. So, all right, let me see. Let's go watch this G-rated movie, you know. Let's go watch Who Ate the Meatballs Part 2, some Pixar movie, whatever, you know.
I love animation. It's all right.
I mean, I love it too, but, yo, it ain't all the time you can do stuff like that. So, you know, I'm just trying to definitely, like, come up with new ways that Christians could just go places, do things, and enjoy themselves, you know. So I'm starting it off with this party. It's called the Jesus Party. It's 100% gospel. That way, no offensive material slips in, you know, because what's offensive to you might not be offensive to me, you know. And depending on the age group of the person, different stuff don't bother different people, you know. So I just wanted to make sure this was something that would be spiritually safe for everybody, you know.
So you're going to have reggae, hip-hop, soca, R&B, dubstep, house, but it's all going to be Christian music.
Yeah, man, it's all Christian. I'm dropping a soca mixtape on Monday, to tell you the truth, you know, because a lot of people, they don't think it's real. They think I'm lying. They're like, what? What's soca gospel? And they think it's going to be corny, but, yo, when I drop this mixtape, y'all going to be singing that different tune. It's living.
Okay, anyone listening, I want you to know nothing Skerrick Boy does is corny, okay? He does not do corny. I was with him in the studio one day, and anything that came out my mouth that was corny was gone. It was like, that's not going to happen, all right?
Nah,
so there's not going to be any liquor, but there's going to be, like, fun, you know, mixed drinks, and you've got some great people with you. DJ Why Not, who I've known his music from the Battle Cry, Acquire the Fire. He does the remix music for them when they're doing their little opening and intermissions and stuff. He's been out there as a voice to say, you know, Christian music can be fun. So he's going to be there with you on the 29th. This is next Friday, correct?
Yes, ma'am. DJ Why Not, he's doing it big, man. He's doing it coast to coast and doing it heavy. And when he found out about, you know, my change, he's one of the first dudes that reached out to me. He's actually the first dude that took me to a Christian conference, you know. And I'm telling him, like, yo, my man, I don't got no bread right now. I ain't working. How many months I'm popped? And he said, yo, don't even worry about it. Just show up in Jersey and I got you. You know what I'm saying? And he just took care of me, you know, so.
That's absolutely awesome. That's wonderful. That's what the body of Christ is supposed to do, you know. And I remember, because, you know, for those of you listening, Dale and I know each other because we actually go to the same church. And so, you know, small little space and place, but it did what it needed to do to grab his heart and his attention. And,
yes,
you know, I remember you saying to me, you know,
I'll tell you that.
And I remember you saying to me, I got rid of all my music. I have no music since. I need to know, like, how to just begin. And you may not even know this, but because of the contact that, or the exposure I had to DJ Why Not, I went on Facebook and I said, hey, I have this dude who just got saved and he has no music. Can you, you know, connect with him and, you know, see what could go on? And that's how it's supposed to be in the body of Christ. You know, we're supposed to build each other up and help each other get from one level to the next, because truthfully, anyone who did what you did and gets rid of the music like that, right, but who loves music with a passion and can't listen to hymns the rest of his life, you know, we've got to fill that void for you so that you can grow. Otherwise, you know, really we're kind of sentencing somebody to their doom, you know.
What,
so,
man, I was going through withdrawal, you know. I was like, oh, I got to listen to this cartel just one more time before I delete it. Oh, it's like, you know, it's like torture. But, yo, once you hit that delete button, within a week, you don't even remember. You know what I'm saying? You don't even remember. Of course, the song is always going to be, like, in your head. You hear it in a car passing by. You're going to be like, oh, Sammy. But you don't, you just got to catch yourself. That's it.
Yeah, I mean, it's true. For those of you who are listening, you've been thinking about it and you just think you can't do it. That's the trick. And on the front side of it, you're going to feel like I can't do it. But I guarantee you, if you just step out there and discharge some of that music, you are going to find yourself feeling really free afterwards. And you're hearing.
Yo, I felt so free that I not only destroyed the music, I destroyed my dub plates. And I'm talking about tens of thousands of dollars in dub plates gone.
Wow.
All of my videos that I've been collecting since 1999, when I played in my first big dance in 1999 until 2011, threw them out, destroyed. All of my magazines, all of my newspaper, all of my media, my CNN interview, everything, threw them out. Get out of here. It's time for something new. I don't want the world to remember me by that. You know what I'm saying? Yeah,
right.
We did it, and it's always going to be around. Who knows? You know, but that's not something I want to have, like, sitting around. I got kids, man. What if my kids start watching these things, seeing these pictures, and, you know, they get inquisitive, and then they gravitate towards that life? Nah, man. Pictures, delete, even the physical ones, tore them down. I did an off-Broadway play, and I had a big poster hung up in the living room, took that down, get out of here. We're moving, man. We're moving along. We're moving at the speed of Christ. Let's go.
I love that. Moving at the speed of Christ. That's right. Moving forward, not looking back. For those of you who might be interested in coming out to this event, it's right in the Bronx, okay? On White Plains Road. That's right. Little Jamaica. 3825 White Plains Road. It's at Pyramid, which is on 220th Street. So if you're interested, you heard him talk about Moody's. Moody's is still right there on 225th Street. You can get your ticket at Moody's, and tickets are only what, $15 and $20 at the door, right?
Bucks. Yeah, I've been looking at some Christian events since I became Christian. And I'll be like, yo, what's with these $50 tickets, yo?
Well, but sometimes it's necessary. Sometimes it's necessary.
I'll have $50, and then it's me and my wife. So it's like, yo.
Can a brother just want to go have a good time?
Can I just like look on for $20? Right, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, well, so I wanted to keep it realistic, man, because I know for a fact it's hard out here, man. You know, and I don't want anyone to feel like alienated or that they can't come or that it's too rich for them. But I realistically want to get to the point where I could do these events for free. You understand what I'm saying? And I do have a free event planned for Labor Day weekend because I'm
all
tired
right.
of
you
all
already got
going
Labor Day 2014 plans. You already have Labor Day 2014. Oh, man, I've got to get on the ball.
Jackie, I'm not playing, yo. 2014, it's a wrap. It is a complete wrap. I'm not asking anybody what I'm going to do. I'm just doing it. The only person who can stop me from doing this is Christ himself.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
I go hard. I got parties planned. I got events planned. I got tours planned. I'm moving. I've never been the dude to sit around and wait for anyone to do anything. And, you know, when I came over here, it's the same way. Yeah, DJ Y-Not was a good dude and took me on the board. Most of the DJs out there that are Christians, they don't really care. You know, they just like, all right, congratulations. You know, come to my party. You know, and that's cool. But when you get there, the only live DJ I've seen so far was DJ Y-Not. Everybody else, they either play old secular music or gospel music that I wouldn't listen to. You know, so.
Wow.
I want to show especially young people. I want to show the young people, like, yo, listen, man. Everybody in the Christian world is not the same. You know,
right.
You could come over here, you could be yourself. The only thing God wants you to get rid of is sin. He don't want you to get rid of fun. He don't want you to get rid of yourself. You know what I'm saying? Be yourself and come have fun. You know? And that's just it. Just don't
and
bring your sin, though. Leave your sin somewhere else.
That's right. We don't need to have security and bouncers up in the place, okay? This is a safe zone. None of that. And doors open at 8 p.m. and it goes until 2 p.m.
Yeah, I'm doing it till 2. I was gonna boogie on till 4 o'clock, but you know they told me that might be a little bit too hard for the mature Christians. You know.
Yes. I'll start yawning somewhere around 1 o'clock myself. But
oh,
I will
man,
be
I guarantee you, there's not gonna be any yawning. I 100. If anybody yawn, I give everybody their money back.
Oh, wow. And by the way, speaking of that, you have a little special that any November birthdays, you know, they can bring somebody with them, but the November birthdays can actually get in for free if they're there at 8 o'clock.
Yeah, man. Just bring your government-issued ID, and anyone born in November is 100% free all night. You know, we celebrate
that's
your
cool.
birthday, we celebrate your life, and that's the way it is. Any event I throw. You know, whatever month it is, that person is free, you know. And I just think it's nice. It's something I used to do back in the days, and it was just fun to see people show up and, like, throw their birthday parties inside of one of my events. Like, and you don't have to RSVP or nothing.
Right.
Just show up, you know. And just
that's
be like,
great.
Hey, Steph, where's my birthday? You know, it's like, yeah, baby, let's go.
Beautiful. Well, I love your passion. I love the fact that you want to tell the world, and that's the next little bit of flavor we're going to drop right now.
Yeah, man.
Brenda. something's true. I don't even really deserve to know you, but I'm a witness that you did this, and I'm brand new, so I'm ready to go, and I'ma tell the world what they need to know. A slave to myself, but you let me go. I tried getting high, but it left me low. You did what they could never do. You cleaned up my soul and gave me life. I'm so brand new, and that's all that matters. I ain't love you first, but you first loved me.
Come on.
In my heart, I cursed you, but you set me free. I gave you no reason to give me new seasons, to give me new life, new breathing. But you hung there bleeding, you died for my lies and my cheating, my lust and my greed. What is a man that you mindful of him?
What?
And what do I have to deserve his loving?
Trying to make the moment last, holding on to the past, like a hero in a dream. Christ came and he rescued me.
Now I'm a terrible world. But your care and kindness keep coming, and your love is so unconditional, like it's butterflies in my stomach. I got the old me in a rear view, now the new me got a clear view. And I'm so dead I couldn't hear you, too deep to stand to come near you. But you drew me in, you clean me up, then take me home, beam me up. Before you do, just let me tell the truth and let the folks know that I done seen your love, and it's everlasting, infinite. It goes on and on, you can't measure it, can't quench your love, and can't separate us from the love of God. There's no estimate. My face looks the same, my frame and rearrange, but I'm changed, I promise ain't the same. Your love so deep, you suffered and took pain. You died on a cross to give me a new name. Ain't nothing like I've seen before. I got a beam and glow. I was low down and dirty, but you clean me, Lord. You adopted me, you keep rocking me. I'ma tell the world and ain't nobody stopping me.
Yes, yes, yes. That's just the taste. So if you like that, you should get those tickets over at Moody's. We've been listening and talking to Skerrit Boy and my good friend Dale Richardson, and I'm really thankful that you shared your story and your time with us. Our time is up, but people can continue to find you. Where can they connect with you?
Well, the official website is electricgospel.net. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and SoundCloud at the handle Electric Gospel. You know what I'm saying? So that's it, man. Just Electric Gospel up the place, and we're good. Oh, my God.
All right. Love it. Love it. So we're going to be hearing more from you. I'm excited to see what 2014 does for you. So I'm really, really thankful. We're going to wrap up the show now, but I do want to let you know of another event that is happening. It is Salem Media Network's end-of-year fundraiser. It is a pre-Thanksgiving celebration with special guests, and I will be singing at this event as well. So you can definitely go to www.sailorradio.com to purchase tickets online. And the space is small. There are only 50 tickets available, and you're going to get a delicious dinner, and you're going to get entertainment, but most important, the proceeds aid Salem Media Network in continuing in their airtime, and many are thirsty for God, and your giving will allow Salem to continue this work online, on air, sorry, and, you know, it's a reward that's given in heaven. So again, go to www.sailorradio.com if you're interested, and all the information will be there. Until next time, I want you to continue to be your own best hero, and do not let yourself down. Follow the example that Dale has given us by following Christ. Romans 10:9-10 says, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, you will be saved. Trust in that, and until next time, continue to be an overcomer. God bless.
Live. Bless.